If you claim you have a relationship with God, but you are living your life in a dark way, then the reality is that you're lying because you don't have a relationship with God and the truth is not really in you.
This is Straight Talk.
Hello, friends. Welcome to Straight Talk Radio. I'm your host, Joshua Halleck, here with Pastor Mark Job, author and the senior pastor at New Life Community Church in Chicagoland. Pastor Mark, this is an exciting new series you're about to start today called Contrast, and you're taking us through 1 John.
1 John, what an incredibly exciting book, because this is written by not John the Baptizer, but the Apostle John, and this is really about what it means to live in contrast with the world. We are in the world, but not of the world, and John highlights, hey, if you're truly a follower of Jesus, this is what it's going to look like. So there's a lot of language about light and darkness, and you were, but now you are. So if you are here today saying, you know, you're listening to this program today, and you're saying, I really want to embrace what it means to be an authentic follower of Jesus Christ, then you really need to listen to this breakdown of 1 John as you understand what it means to be in the world, loving them, but not being of the world, being separate as well.
This message, you've titled it Coming Clean, and it's the beginning of this series. How does coming clean start the contrast of a believer's life?
John starts this entire epistle talking about what it means to have fellowship with God. And if we have fellowship with God, we're not walking in darkness, but we're living in the truth. And so this is really about exposing ourselves to the light and realizing, man, there is junk in all of our life that we need to release if we're going to be walking in contrast to the world. So we need to come clean. That's the first thing that every follower of Jesus, we can't take the old world into our new life.
That's good. Well, friends, we're in John 1, verses 1 through 4. 1 John 1, verses 1 through 4, and this is Coming Clean.
1 John. For those of you that are new to your Bibles, you may be confused by the Gospel of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the fourth book of the New Testament. I'm not going to the Gospel of John. I'm going to all the way to the end of your Bibles. If you have your Bible, turn all the way to the end. The last book of the Bible is called the book of Revelation. The three books right before Revelation, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. I'm going to 1st John, the one that has a 1 in front of it. We're starting a verse-by-verse study through the entire book of 1 John. There's only 5 chapters in 1 John. And so this is a great book to start reading through and just understanding what God has to say. This book is all about contrast. You know, we live in a day where, well, there's contrast, right? There's light, there's darkness. Even in Chicago, there's some big contrast. There's the Sox and the Cubs. Big contrast, right? There's hot dogs with ketchup, hot dogs without ketchup, big contrast. There's Republican and Democrat, big contrast. There's Star Wars and Star Trek fans, big contrast, right? There's Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts, there's big contrast, right? And as I've mentioned these different categories, you may find yourself that you're in one category and someone else is in a different category. 1 John says that there's two categories in this world. There's the people that walk in the light and there's the people that walk in the dark. There's a huge difference between those that walk in the light and those that walk in the darkness. And we have the power to choose which way we will live and how we will walk, whether we are going to be people of the light or whether we're going to be people of the darkness. And 1 John is really all about contrasting the light and the darkness. Now, as we jump into 1 John, I want you to know a little bit about who wrote First John. Obviously, it's pretty self-explanatory that it was John, the apostle, that wrote the book of First John. But, you know, there's several Johns in the New Testament, right? There's John the Baptizer. Well, this is not John the Baptizer. John the Baptizer was a second cousin to Jesus. How many of you knew that? Okay. John the Apostle is actually a first cousin to Jesus. John and James were brothers. Just a couple things I want you to understand. So, John the Apostle wrote five books in the New Testament. He wrote the Gospel of John. He wrote 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and he also wrote the book of Revelation. John is the one who, his mother was Salome. Salome was the sister of Mary, Mary the mother of Jesus. So Mary and Salome were sisters. Jesus was the son of Mary. John and James were the son of Salome, which made them first cousins of Jesus. Tracking with me? John was part of the inner core of the disciples that Jesus had. Jesus had 12 main disciples, but James, John, and Peter were part of the inner core. There's a couple of times where Jesus took Peter, James, and John to places where he took no other disciples. For example, he took them when he rose Jairus' daughter from the dead. He took James and John and Peter there. On the Mount of Transfiguration, he took James, John, and Peter. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying, he took Peter, James, and John. Out of the 12 apostles, history tells us, and we have indication from Scripture, that maybe only John suffered a natural death. All the other apostles were martyred. Some, their heads were chopped off. Some were crucified upside down. Some were boiled in oil. I mean, they had a pretty tough job being apostles. But John was the only person, he was the only of the disciples that is believed to die a natural death at old age. So John is writing. His brother James became one of the leaders of the early church. And John was very, very close to Jesus. So as you read 1 John, you're reading the writings of someone that walked very closely to Jesus, that was a cousin to Jesus, that heard Jesus, that he describes himself as the apostle that Jesus loved. If you read in 1 John, we're going to be looking at chapter 1 of 1 John, and really this topic is all about coming clean. Coming clean. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you got dirty, like really dirty, and you just wanted to clean up, but it was hard to get clean. Recently, I was four-wheeling down in Tennessee. On these little four-wheelers that kind of go cross-country. And so my boys and I were doing this, and we were kind of going up these hills and, you know, the big tractor wheels that they have on it. And so we got into this little game we were playing, and our, of course, we're like, you know, I know I'm 47, but I'm a boy at heart still. So my goal was to try to get as much mud as I could on my boys. So I'm kind of skiing and kind of revving up the wheels and trying to splash mud onto them. And so after about an hour of doing this, I don't know if you can see the picture right there, but we were caked in mud. I mean, I had mud from top to bottom. I mean, we were filthy in mud. And it took a while to get back to the house that we were at. And so by the time I got back to the house, the mud dried on my head. So I was just filthy, felt like I had caked mud all over my head, all over my face, all over my body. And here's what happens when you get dirty. After a while, when you're dirty, you just want to get clean. How about it? You just want to get clean. I just want a good shower. Now, I didn't want to mess up the people's house because I was so muddy. And so The boys convinced me to go down to the river. And so I went down to the river, jumped in the river with all my clothes on and swam a little bit in there and got clean because I was so filthy. And then I had to take a shower after that just to get double clean. But there's something about feeling fresh and clean, like this is the way I'm supposed to be. How about it? When you're dirty, you feel like it's not the way I'm supposed to be. When you get clean, it feels like, yeah, it's the way I'm supposed to be. Spiritually, it's the same way. We get into life, and life gets us dirty. We get ourselves pretty dirty. The Bible tells us that there's no one that exists on the face of this earth that does not have spiritual mud on their soul. The mud on our soul, the Bible refers to as sin. The message of 1 John is very simple. If we start reading 1 John, he in essence says in verses 1 through 4, he basically says, the reason that I'm writing this book of 1 John is so that you can have a relationship with God, fellowship with God. The main message is that God is light and there's no darkness in him. The main problem is that you and I do have dirt on our soul that the Bible calls sin. If God is pure and light, and we have dirt and darkness on us, then there's a problem. Our dirt and darkness of the soul cannot have relationship and communion and fellowship with the purity of God. So what do we do with this problem? I'm going to begin reading some verses that are found. We're going to look at the whole chapter, but I want to read to you verses 5 through 10. I'm going to ask that you stand for the reading of God's word today. 1 John chapter 1, beginning in verse 5, it says, "This is the message we have heard from him," talking about Jesus, "and declare to you, God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word has no place in us." The word of God, you may be seated. John begins this entire chapter by telling us, and if you look at verse 1, he tells us, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life." What John is saying is that he was there. He's talking about Jesus.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk radio message called Coming Clean, which is from Pastor Mark Jobe's new series called Contrast, Be the Difference. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of 1 John with his message called Coming Clean.
John was saying, "Hey, I'm not talking to you about theory here. I'm talking to you about someone that I've seen, I've touched, I've heard, I've walked with. I'm talking to you not about second, third-hand information. I'm talking to you about my cousin, Jesus, who I saw, watched, the Son of the living God." Verse 2, "The life appeared." The life of who? The life of Jesus. "And we have seen it and testified to it." John is saying, "Hey, I saw Jesus. I saw him do the miracles. I saw the resurrection. I saw Jairus' daughter come to life after she was dead. I saw Lazarus come out of the grave. I saw the lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear. I saw Jesus walk on the water. I saw him speak to the storm and calm it." I mean, I'm an eyewitness to all of this. This is not superstitious or legend. This is things that I have seen. I know firsthand. "And we proclaim to you eternal life. He said, I've seen it, and now I want you to understand about this life that I've seen. It's eternal life that's through Jesus, which was with the Father, who was with the Father, Jesus, and has appeared to you. If you look at the Gospel of John chapter 1, John is very concerned about letting us know that Jesus was not just a good person, but that Jesus was all God and became all man. In John chapter 1, this is really important. Some people skim over this. But most of the heresy that you find in religious groups that do not follow Scripture, or religious groups that have gone errant, religious groups that have gone off track, oftentimes their heresy, their false teaching, their wrong turn revolves around the person of Jesus Christ. There are people that believe Jesus was a good example, he was a prophet, he was a good teacher, but he was not the Son of God or God himself. There are people who believe that he was the Son of God, but that he was not God. The Bible's very clear about this. Part of the foundation of Christianity, if you're going to call yourself a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, you need to make sure that you know the Christ that you are following. John chapter 1, the Gospel of John, says, in the beginning was the Word, or the Logos, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's speaking about Jesus. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have beheld His glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father. But in essence, what John was telling us is that Jesus existed before He was born in a baby in Bethlehem. He existed before. He's always existed with the Father. God has always been Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God has always existed in the form of a triune God. There has never been a time where it was just God the Father and He decided, well, let me create a Son or let me create a Holy Spirit. The Son is from eternity past. The Holy Spirit is from eternity past. God the Father is from eternity past. There is no such thing of the Father without the Son, or the Son without the Father, or the Son without the Holy Spirit. God has always been a triune God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's why when we baptize people, we baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three distinct persons, yet one in nature. Difficult to understand, a mystery to us, yet this is what Scripture teaches. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and the Father are one. This is really important for us to understand, because if you don't understand that, then Christianity does not make sense when it comes to the washing of your sins and when it comes to having a right relationship with God the Father through Jesus the Son. So he goes on to say, this life appeared, we've seen it, and we proclaim to you eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. Verse 3, we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also, here's why John is writing this book. We proclaim to you what we've seen and heard, so that you also may have, here's the word, fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and His Son Christ. We write this to make your joy complete. In essence, John is saying, I'm writing these things so that you can have fellowship with God. Now, this word fellowship is a little bit of a strange word. How about it? I mean, really, in your regular vocabulary or apart from religious vocabulary, how often do you use the word fellowship? You use the word hang out, my friend, relationship, my buddies. But seriously, do you say, I'm going to the bar to have fellowship with my friends? I don't hear that. Unless you're in a religious context. Oh, I'm going to go to the Sox game and have fellowship with a few people at the Sox. No, we don't use that language. But it is a very powerful word. The word in the Greek, which is what this book was written in, the New Testament Greek, the word is koinonia. The ancient Greek word koinonia speaks of sharing, communion, common bond, and life. It means a close relationship. People that share things in common. A brotherhood. More than an acquaintance. Sometimes we use the word very casually, and some people say, well, we're going to the fellowship hall. And some of you have the idea of fellowship is I'm hanging out in the foyer of the church with a cup of coffee, talking about the Bulls and the weather and what's going on. And you said I was just fellowshipping with the brothers. And I understand what you're saying. But this word is much deeper than hanging out over a cup of coffee, shooting the breeze about the weather. This is about sharing a bond that's deep. Partnering, opening up your life, sharing life together. John says, I'm writing this letter to you so that you can have this deep, powerful relationship with God. Not just so you can know about God, but so that you can walk with God, experience God, live with God, fellowship with Him, share life with Him. He says, I want you to have fellowship with God. And I'm writing this entire letter so that you can have fellowship with God. Here's what I've discovered over the years, that a lot of people know about God like we know about the president. And you believe in God like you believe in the president. You know facts about God like you know facts about the president. You feel like you know God because you've heard about Him and heard stories about Him like you've heard about the president and seen his speeches on TV and watched what he does. But in reality, you don't really know Him. Many people have a relationship with God like we have with a figure that we know about, but we really don't have a relationship. We confuse knowledge about God with relationship with God. The great majority of the people, I believe, that are religious, if you were to ask them, do you have a relationship with God? They would confuse knowledge about God with relationship. John is saying, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you have the ability, the right, to have fellowship with God. A deep, intense, powerful relationship with God Almighty. And John says, I'm writing this book so that you can have fellowship with God that way. And I write this to make your joy complete, because when you have that kind of relationship, your joy is going to be complete. So he goes on to explain the problem. And I've mentioned it to you already. The problem, he says, is this. The problem is that God is light and we walk in darkness, and there's a problem of sin. If God is light and there's purity in Him, the technical religious word for it is holy. Holy means that He's set apart like no other. There's no blemish, there's no spot, there's no wrinkle, there's no sin, there's no mistakes that God has ever committed. So God is pure and undefiled. Yet we are defiled and impure. In Romans it tells us that we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. All of us have blemishes in our soul. All of us have stains. All of us carry sin. All of us have disobeyed God. All of us have missed the mark. So God is holy. We are unholy. God says, I want to have fellowship with you. I want to walk with you. I want to have relationship with you. But there's a problem. A holy God cannot interact with unholy people. So what do we do about the problem? What is the solution to having fellowship with God? And John addresses it right now. And if you're taking notes, I want to give you three steps to coming clean and wrong thinking that keeps us stuck out of fellowship with God. First of all, write this down. Number one, if you want a relationship with God, you have to begin to live in the light. A wrong thinking is we say we have a relationship with God, but we still live in darkness. Notice what it says in verse 6. If we claim to have fellowship with Him, referring to God, yet we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. John says, if you claim you have a relationship with God, but you are living your life in a dark way, then the reality is that you're lying because you don't have a relationship with God and the truth is not really in you. Whoa. Heavy talk.
This concludes the first half of part one, Coming Clean, from Pastor Mark's brand new series called Contrast, Be the Difference. Before you go, we invite you to download our free Straight Talk app at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you can download this evening's message for free and find a link to our New Life Community Church ministry page where you can browse the ministry of Pastor Mark Jobe. You'll also find a Bible app and over 400 other messages that we think will definitely encourage you. If you have any questions about our program or just need some prayer, you can call our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and our Straight Talk team, we thank you for listening. Please do tune in again for another edition of Straight Talk, and have a great evening. God bless.